elevate, it didn't make any noise. So
yeah, it usually hoots at us.
Or says recorded in color.
Well, it was already recorded.
Oh, okay.
Great video.
Great. Wonderful. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So we'll go ahead and get started. Jay, do you have accounts payable for us?
Sure. Just a couple items to note on this week's. The first, the $10,000 for the Hayes Group, and that's for our first quarter of the employee benefits consulting services. T2 Systems, that $12,000 payment is for the airport's parking lot gate system maintenance agreement. The American Airlines $15,906 is the true up for their joint rent and landing fees and security fees that they'd already paid. And the Wagner Equipment $310,768 was for a new motor grader for the District 2 shop. The rest are pretty much standard payments. The overall accounts payable is $989,346, with a payroll of $879,260 for total disbursements today of $1,868,606.47.
Move to approve the accounts payable as presented by the county manager.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. consent agenda.
All right. I move to approve consent agenda. Excuse me. I move to approve the consent item A, approval and authorization for the YVA director to sign and submit two grant applications to the FAA for YVA's terminal area and general aviation development plans and for the purchase of two replacement plow trucks.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Right. It is 9:35 and I am assuming we don't have anyone here for public comment, but if you are attending remotely and wish to make public comment, you can raise your hand and we can call on you. All right, seeing none, we will go ahead and close public comment and move forward with our planning item. Let's get Alan in. Good morning, Alan.
Hi, I didn't realize this was in person. I can come down if you want.
Whatever you want, sir. We are happy to do it either way. We're very flexible. I mean,
okay.
We do have 5 minutes for this
cool.
Site. It's excessive. So if you'd like to come up here, you can go ahead and do that.
I'm sorry, I missed that. What was that?
Oh, I said we do have 25 minutes for this item, which seems unnecessary. So there's plenty of time for you to walk up if you would like.
Okay, I'll be there in a minute.
Oh. Okay.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
Go ahead.
All right. So we're here today to consider the certificate of designation for the Milner landfill. This was tabled from last week to give staff the time to create the document. So the communication form is a little outdated after it was submitted. In it, it says that the legal description that we have was incorrect and that we were waiting on a new legal description. After the communication form was submitted, they did provide an updated legal, and that was drawn by GIS, and everything matches. So the document that is titled, I think it's CD draft, that is the actual document. It does have the correct legal description in it. And so this is, it's ready to be approved. And then since it references the special use permit and that has not been issued yet, this will not get issued until the special use permit is issued as well. So today, what we're looking for is an approval of this document and authorization of the chair's signature once it's ready to be issued.
Questions?
Ready for motion?
I do actually have one question. How long does the certificate of designation last? Is it just sort of life?
I mean, we would, since the special use permit is in there, that has the life of the permit, all the conditions and everything. It's really the special use permit that dictates all of that stuff. I believe this is required by state statute. So it's just kind of like formal approval of that area.
Great, thanks.
Kind of just housekeeping.
All in the rules.
Well, I think a lot of counties don't have that special use permit process. So some counties, the certificate of designation is the only review process for a landfill. So we just have a more robust zoning regulations that we take all of the other stuff into account. So
in that situation, say the county doesn't have an SUP, they really have no oversight over that landfill at all.
I believe you could, I mean, I'm just shooting from the hip here,
okay.
But I think if you didn't have zoning regulations, but you had the certificate of designation, you could review other stuff as well, but like similar to what we do without the regulations. But again, that's just shooting from the hip. I don't know if that's completely accurate or not.
Thank you.
All right, I am now ready for a motion.
Madam Chair, I move to approve the certificate of designation for the Milner landfill and authorize the chair to sign the certificate of designation following final approval of the county attorney.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 I'd just like to take this opportunity in public, and I privately told Kristy and Alan I really appreciate the work that they did on the SUP for the Milner. Professional work and working through a bunch of really difficult circumstances that we got to a pretty good place.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm proud of how we handled this because we had probably 4 or 5 meetings with the landfill prior to any document being made public to go over the conditions of approval. And I think it really helped focus the conversation and really identify the issues that really need to get focused on. So
yeah, I think that probably worked better than the sort of arguing in public that's happened in the past.
absolutely.
So thanks for that.
Thank you for professionalism through the process because it can be tried.
Yeah.
Well, I think communication.
Communicating
with the applicant and like you said, focusing on the issues that are really important, not allowing it to get sidetracked by other issues. Makes our job easier.
Did y'all see the letter to the editor that Wes wrote? It was, I didn't think it was all that bad. Got one little dig in right at the end, but for the most part, today.
I'll look at it.
Ironically today, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think Wes probably, my assumption is that he, you know, thought that the news article highlighted some of the lack of compliance and he just wanted to address it.
Yeah,
I mean, that's his right if he wants to.
Absolutely. I wish the newspaper hadn't have focused so much on the non-compliance, but...
Yeah, well, that's the story for them, right?
Yeah, it is what it is.
That's the controversy.
Exactly. So, all right, well, thanks a lot.
Thank Thank you.
Y'all have a good day.
Yeah, sure. Here she is.
Right on time.
Let me know when you're ahead of schedule.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Zooming right along, huh?
We are. Good to yes, exactly. All right. So
I don't know if Tony was coming or not, but
we don't really need him that much. He can get 10 minutes back in his day.
There you go.
Just fine. But maybe we should let him know he doesn't need to show up.
Do you want to just shoot Tony Brown an email as well? Thanks.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
I'm here to request the Board of County Commissioners approve the purchase and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order for two new model year 2022 bottom dump trailers for the Ralph County Road and Bridge Department District 3 shop, utilizing the Trail King Sourcewell contract number 121918-TKI. From Transwest Trailers in the amount not to exceed $108,213.02. So the Colorado State Purchasing Offer has negotiated the Sourcewell Trail King contract for all government agencies to utilize in the purchase of Trail King trailers. We have received the pricing discount from Transwest Trailers for the purchase of the two bottom dump trailers to replace Road and Bridge current units 140 and 142 that are being retired. The original quote came in with a 6,000 delivery FOB Steamboat Springs fee, and we have decided that we can send people down for that amount of money. And this way, we were able to come in. The current budget is $110,000. So the proposed expenditure of $108,213.02 will not require any supplemental budget. Any questions?
How come District 3 gets two of them?
I guess they're special. It's time. Okay. Maybe they use up their miles faster than the other two.
Any other questions?
No, that's all. Okay. So District 3 is getting special.
Well, and the other shops are
everybody
are coming
gets
right
new
up.
Equipment all the time.
We had six bids come in on our heavy equipment, so we're really trying very hard to get them ordered so we get them in 2022. So we're working diligently to get that. So you'll be seeing a lot of me.
So they're going to pick it up in Grand Junction,
mm-hmm.
but it says FOB Fargo, North Dakota.
No, it's coming.
Okay.
Yeah, that was fixed.
Thank you.
Yes, we will not be going to Fargo. Although it was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
Didn't really make you want to visit, though.
Made me a little nervous about all those innocent seeming Midwestern people.
There you go.
All right, Madam Chair, are you ready?
Go ahead.
All right. I move that the Board of County Commissioners approve the purchase and authorize the county manager to electronically sign the purchase order for two new model year 2022 bottom dump trailers for the Route County Road and Bridge Department D3 shop, utilizing the Trail King Sourcewell contract number 121918-TKI from Transwest Trailers in the amount not to exceed $108,213.02.
Second.
We were early.
Okay. We were getting you back.
We're just moving.
Yeah, don't say anything right now. It's really going really.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Thanks, Tony.
Thanks.
Wow. You know what, Tony? I would say that's perfect timing.
Yeah, right.
Thank you both.
All right. Do we want to see if anybody else wants to come earlier?
Well, the next one is Lieutenant Boyle, and I'm not sure if he's with any person or online, but he's coming off campus.
Okay.
Sometimes he likes to get out of that jail.
All right. Well, we can pause. I don't. That's no problem. Great. Well, we'll recess until what time is that? 10:10?
Yes.
10:10.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Jude.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Not too bad. You feeling better?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel 100%.
Okay, good.
Be careful. all right, so we are here for discussion on the Access Healthcare Group inmate mental health contract. I understand we have a couple representatives from Access, and I'll just turn it over to you, Joe, and you can have whoever you want talk
sure,
about
this. Sure, this is Dr. Alexander and Paul Evans, both part of the Access Health Healthcare Group, and I asked them if they wanted to join in, if you had any questions specific that I couldn't answer, maybe they'd be the best people to ask. But basically, their services are all telehealth remote services. So they're going to be taking over, essentially taking over what MindSprings was doing, so one-on-one counseling and psychotherapy. So they're still able to prescribe psych meds for inmate population and provide consistent one-on-one counseling and psychotherapy, which is the main goal here. MindSprings, we did let them know that we're not going to renew their contract. They've kind of struggled with staffing and stuff like that. And although we've been partners with them for years, and we've really tried to make a good effort to make things work. And I understand the staffing is a problem, but I can't hold the liability of them not coming in to see inmates who need mental health services. And they've been great for a number of years, and it's a shame that this has happened, but Access Healthcare Group has stepped in, and we've had discussions. They seem like a very squared away professional company that can provide these consistent counseling and psychotherapy sessions that our inmate population needs.
Yeah, I guess my question is, I was just looking at the budget. We have this in the budget for the year?
This is actually, I confirmed it through the Office of Behavioral Health, that this is all money that will come out of the JBBS grant that I secured a few years ago. They assured me that that money is only going to increase over time. It's not going anywhere, anywhere anytime soon. So I've been kind of trying to bounce some ideas around with the Office of Behavioral Health on how to spend this money.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you know, I hired the MAT program and also Craig Bloomhill as the SUD group therapist. Now, those are great services. We still have a large chunk of this JBBS funds that need to be spent. So working with Joel Miller from the Office of Behavioral Health, he was like, I don't want to see them take any money from you. If you're not spending it, they'll take it. You know how it kind of works. So with this, it's going to be completely funded through the JBBS grant. It will be right on the mark with their numbers and with the MAT numbers and SUD group therapy. We'll be right on the mark for spending that grant money. So keep them off our back.
Other questions?
I'm
good.
Okay.
So I'm just curious, what does it look like inside of the jail? Do you have a separate room that's set up with the camera and television?
Yeah, we have what we call our attorney room or our law library. And it's a non-recorded room, so there's no microphones in it. But it is monitored still by the control tower and cameras. We have telehealth equipment that, again, was secured through another grant through the state, which was a $20,000 telehealth equipment, two video monitors, a headset. It's really a really nice cart that we can move around the whole facility. So we're not restricted to one room or the other. So if we do have a highly violent individual with mental health needs, it's nice that we can move the cart up front to a secured cell, so they're not like have a chance to smash the equipment or anything like that, but they can still get the services needed. So we're completely set up. with all the telehealth equipment in order to do this. That's what the equipment is used for. So it can even take people's temperature. The doctor can take people's temperature with it. They can do the throat scopes and ear scopes, and it's pretty high-tech stuff.
So Access has the ability to prescribe. How about the actual administration of drugs?
So they're going to be, it's going to be the kind of the same deal with MindSprings and Nurse Lori, who's contracted through WellPath. So we do have the nurse practitioner who's part-time on site, and she does handle all the prescriptions. Their providers and Nurse Lori are going to be working closely together for the continuation of care and medication needs and stuff like that, charting and tracking each patient in custody. So we're going to fine tune that with how the prescriptions are going to work. Nurse Lori has her pharmacy that she uses through WellPath. I know their providers have their own pharmacy that they use, but I know we've been in the meetings that we've had, we've kind of started to hash out how that's going to work and smooth things out there.
You've calibrated their level of service to the funds available. Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct. Yep.
So there's not really, you don't have the capacity to expand these services beyond what's shown in this contract if the need arises.
That's correct. And actually, the services that they're going to be providing are actually going to be more than what MindSprings was providing. So we're trying to block out and schedule, I think we said 2 days a week for the one-on-one counseling to happen, which MindSprings was only doing once a week if they had someone available to come down to the jail. So if we need to expand services in the future, we can look into that. I can talk with Office of Behavioral Health too. But with the estimated monthly invoicing from them and the other services that are paid for through the grant, we're going to be right on our mark and still have some wiggle room for a little extra too.
Great. Commissioner Forgan asked the question that I had. I guess I'm just curious more broadly with the constraints of the JBBS grant, and it sounds like maybe you will end up using all those resources. What kind of resources do you have to support people in transitioning out of the jail and sort of reduce recidivism in that way?
That's a great question, and that's maybe a good question for Dr. Alexander or Paul Evans. They partner with Mindula, or they're a section of Mindula, which is but there are like care coordination options for people that leave. I know they help kind of set people up with providers on the outside and stuff like that. They even have, is it an app on the phone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good morning, everyone. I can answer some questions. I know it's morning out in Colorado. We're delighted to be on the call with you, and thank you for allowing us to be a partner. Access, for all intensive purposes, is a medical practice, a psychiatric medical practice. Our parent company, Mindula, is operating in about half the country. And so they are really working in mild to moderate mental illness, some severe mental illness, in a virtual capacity around care coordination and social determinants. So between Mindula's capabilities, their technology and their processes, and our ability to directly care for patients, either through psychiatric evaluation and psychotherapy, what we're looking forward to is getting into the specific needs of the inmates in Routt County and seeing if we can apply some of the work we're doing with hospitalized patients who are ill in the outpatient setting to reduce utilization, have better outcomes, keep them healthy in the outpatient setting and out of hospitals or emergency rooms. We're looking forward to applying that to this population. So there are a couple of just very basic things that can be done. We'll have to coordinate through the nurse practitioner on site, making sure that there are mental health appointments, making sure that the diagnosis is correct, using medications that are appropriate, avoiding substances that are addictive or can lead to other issues. And then seeing if we can provide a handoff to whoever's picking the inmate up for care after they leave from the hospital. AXIS itself does two things very well. We can manage patients, psychiatric patients in hospitals. So we run and we staff behavioral health units in hospitals, mostly in the Maryland, DC area. We also see patients with medical acuity and psychiatric illness and also staff emergency rooms. So we're seeing a lot of very, very ill patients. Some of them do have criminal backgrounds, as you can imagine. And the other thing that we do well is outpatient. And so our goal really is to avoid hospitalization, which in many ways is similar to what Lieutenant Boyle is trying to achieve. Is there a way to meet some of the unmet needs of your population, of your inmates, so that they can avoid jail? And when you start dealing with behavioral health patients, social determinants really impacts them. Violence, trauma, drug use, obviously, homelessness. And so that's what Mindula and AXIS regionally and nationally are really trying to solve. We're trying to fix behavioral health once and for all. We feel behavioral health care delivery has been broken for a long, long time. And it leads to rehospitalization, you know, folks going back to prison. So as we get into the work, we'll figure out what the needs are and then see what kind of resources we can marshal. The depth of services that Mindula can provide around, you know, wraparound services as patients leave the hospital is pretty deep, but that would require additional funds. It's very cost effective, but right now we're going to be doing 1 hour of medicine management and psychiatric evaluation for the inmates at the jail and 4 hours of psychotherapy weekly on a virtual basis.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you track recidivism at all? I mean, are you, or is it just sort of a sense of how frequently people end up back in jail?
So that's something I've been trying to work with our jail management system, Spillman, is that if there's a way I can track that, if they have a report that I can generate yearly or quarterly or monthly. It being a small town, it's kind of easy to see the you know, the frequent flyers that come in and out of our custody. But my hope is to develop some more of a solid system in tracking the recidivism. Another kind of challenge with that is when they do leave our custody, sometimes they travel to different areas, different counties. They might get rearrested there, which I wouldn't be aware of. That's something that's pretty hard to do, at least from the resources that I have here. I'm going to talk to some other agencies, see how they track it, and kind of get some better ideas from them. But with what I've been developing over the past few years and the ultimate goal of reducing recidivism, supporting people in our community, giving them the best chance they have when they get out of our custody, to be, you know, outstanding members of their community and really just helping them. You know, I'm working with the health partnership as building a kind of case management position with them. So I know Commissioner Redmond, I was telling you how the one individual that was in our custody,
right?
He was a transient. I went to Walmart and I bought camping stuff, a tent, clothes, boots, socks. I even bought him a cell phone. And I set him up with, DHS, made an appointment for him to get a food card and his Medicaid going, and set him up with the food bank at Lift Up. But it was kind of a lot for me to do and still juggle my jail administrative duties. So that's kind of the hope is to have the health partnership take over that role. We have some forms that they'll fill out that needs assessment. There's mental health questions on there as well, if they have mental health needs. And then the health partnership will be the ones that will coordinate with DHS or the DMV or whoever they need to point them in the right direction to get those needs taken care of when they get released. So they'll sit with them, meet with them a week or two before they're released, talk to them about what their needs are and how they can help. And then when they are released, they'll either meet them right there in the parking lot, or they'll have some sort of safety plan or something in place for them. They just, once they leave, they go right into all this support that's right out there, instead of just going and crashing on a buddy's couch, might not be the best influence for them. Housing is one of the biggest issues. That's something that I don't know if I can tackle right away. That's down the line though, but hopefully with like the opiate governance committee that I'm on and stuff like that, we can start talking about maybe having some sort of transitional housing for people who don't have it down the line. That's ultimate hope. I can see everything. All the players are coming to the table and we're kind of making it work. So,
well, I just would say I've been so impressed by it. I mean, you really have gone above and beyond on all of this. And I think it's such a need just in general, but it's so important for our community. You hate for jail to be the best place for people to be in terms of supports, but sometimes that's the best place we can connect them with supports. And I think just trying to figure out that continuity so that, you know, helping folks kind of get on the right track and be successful. And it's just such important work. So I just really commend you for stepping up to do that. And I think it's much needed.
Can I follow up?
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree with everything that Commissioner Mullen said. And this is interesting because we have just recently, as commissioners, started to consider what our place is in the mental health space in Brown County. And obviously there's tons of frustration. And this kind of falls under the heading, well, this is something that we can do, right? we may not be able to fix the overall problem, but this is a really interesting. And then back, and I'm sorry, I can't remember or see your names. What's Dr. the first name of the gentleman that was speaking?
Judd.
Jude, but Jude. I think he's a doctor. You were referring to this doctor.
Yes.
So in any case, if you were listening to what I was saying, we're beginning to struggle with try to engage with the mental health system writ large in Brown County, not just the jail. But the question I have for you is, I'm really fascinated with this telehealth and telepsychiatry. And can you speak to the efficacy of telehealth as compared to in-person therapy?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So when you look at, and I'm an internist as well as a psychiatrist, so I've worn both hats in my career. When you look across all of medicine, surgical specialties, internal medicine, family, pediatrics, psychiatry, telehealth is being employed because of the pandemic in very unique and novel ways. But in psychiatry, it has really caught fire. And patients are really, because access was such a big problem before, having to go into a clinic and so forth. The virtual world has really just transformed psychiatry significantly. So during the pandemic, most psychiatry practices switched to virtual, including ours. Overnight, we switched from seeing patients in hospitals to seeing them virtually. So we have the ability to see really, really sick schizophrenics, bipolar patients, schizoaffective, violent, aggressive patients, chronically mentally ill in hospitals. We can manage them virtually. We prefer live and on-site. And then our outpatient practice, literally overnight when the pandemic hit, switched to virtual. Now, 2 years into the pandemic, patients are saying, well, I love virtual, but sometimes I want to see someone face to face. But there doesn't seem to be any drop off at all in terms of outcomes for these patients. There is better uptake of utilization. It's much more cost effective. The providers also have less burnout, because they've got more flexibility and they can see patients from the comfort of their home instead of going into a clinic. So the pandemic in some strange ways has created a sea change in the way behavioral health is being delivered. And really, it was long overdue. So some of the other things that come up on this call about the needs of your community and your and the inmates is really no different than patients facing hospitalization. So we see many patients who come to the emergency room because they cannot get an appointment with a behavioral health specialist. They're out of medications and they can't get a refill. So access, not access, but access, A-C-C-E-S-S, is one of the most pervasive problems in behavioral health, especially when you start going into Medicaid dollars or self-pay or uninsured patients. And so this paradigm shift in the way care is being delivered in a virtual format is helping with that. But we're also looking at projecting virtual case management. And that's what Mindula has shown, that you can engage people who are really mentally ill, who frankly have been written off before. And if you give them services in a virtual format, including case management, 24/7 crisis support, someone to block and tackle around housing, getting food, getting their medications, you see really tremendous results. And the price point for that is you know, shockingly low compared to rehospitalization. You know, rehospitalization costs about $12,000. And I'm sure putting someone back in prison costs, you know, quite a lot of money. So the good news is there are ways to do this, very common sense, and meet the needs of the patients. And it'll probably save everyone a lot of money and these patients get better outcomes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Great explanation. Appreciate it.
If I could.
Of course.
You know, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the idea of having people in person when Joe was saying released from the jail to provide that in-person support. I guess my question to you, will you be able to find those providers? Do you have them already? Because I guess I'm hearing that from other healthcare providers that they're having trouble with the clinicians and actually having, you know, the people. Do you feel that you have a good pool of therapists to provide those services for my county?
Yeah, so this is all built around scope of work. So this is virtual work. So we are actually recruiting now for a psychiatrist to provide at least 1 hour a week and therapists to provide 4 hours a week in a virtual format to the Rapp County Jail with Lieutenant Boyle's patient. So these providers have to be licensed in Colorado. So that's what we're recruiting for under virtual. In many ways, this is just an extension of our outpatient practice. So what we'll be doing is scheduling slots for Rapp County in our outpatient practice, which right now is virtual. And we'll be bringing on providers who are licensed in Colorado. So once we start talking about on-site work, it becomes far more expensive because now you're having to pay someone to either drive to Rapp County, right? So you burn up a lot of time driving, or they live in Rapp County, which is entirely possible. But then what happens is we start going back to old ways of providing behavioral health care. And when we start going backwards, it becomes more expensive and less effective. So yes, we can do live and on-site services. It takes longer to build depending on where you are. And then you end up having to navigate the cost exposure and, you know, provider turnover and those sorts of things. So I'm not sure if that eventually will be part of the ask, but yeah, we can build live and on-site services, but usually most people are saying, let's try some virtual first and then go from there. And it's much more cost effective. And I imagine the inmates will be delighted to get these services.
Dr. So, Alexander, if I could just.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead, please.
Oh, sorry, I just wanted to add to that because that's kind of how these conversations started with Lieutenant Boyle. We've been speaking to people at the state level about ways that we can interact with the inmates and the prison population to, as Dr. Alexander said earlier, kind of flip the behavioral health system on its head, because the resources that are available now aren't working, especially for this population. And so as MindDoula has these population health programs and Access can provide the direct care, we're working as an organization to find new models that we can bring to Colorado and provide those outpatient resources in ways that engage this community and also bring the outcomes that you're looking for.
Yeah, and we can't blow up the bank doing that. Everyone's got limited resources. All resources are strained because of the pandemic. And so we have to come up with new ways of doing things that deliver better outcomes. That's a very, very difficult needle to thread, but these are some of the ways that we're doing it. There's behavioral health delivery, care delivery requires a lot of innovation. The good news is it's happening. So you're gonna, this is an example, you know, partnering with someone like Lieutenant Boyle, who is one, very passionate about this work, but is also thinking outside the box. This is the sort of pilot project that usually catches fire.
And I think, just to clarify, I think Lieutenant Boyle, when he was talking about the handoff and then when people are released, that was in partnership with the health partnership locally here.
Correct. And that's kind of the ultimate goal. It's like, you know, being in such a rural community here and the limited resources we have in town, it is hard to have people come to the jail, as we saw with mind swings and stuff. It's difficult. And the mental health issues that our nation has kind of faced too has been really difficult. I mean, we see it now with even the hospitals in Colorado, the mental health hospitals we have here are packed, overflowing. Sometimes people get stuck in jail who have serious mental health needs, who are deemed incompetent to proceed through the criminal justice system, and they need to be in a hospital, but there's no room. So they end up just, where else do they go? They have to sit in our jail, which is not fair to them. You know, it's not fair. And it's what we're trying to accomplish. It's just, what do I have to work with? Who are the resources I have in town? Who are the resources I can reach out to and bring to the table? So I'm thinking, just kind of as a collaborative effort, what I see is having all these providers at the table, all these organizations coming to the table that each provide a unique, specific service that can benefit the individuals we see come through our doors who are in our custody. So, you know, having Access as part of the mental health team, and you know, and I say the JBBS program is the jail-based behavioral services program. So we have the SUD group therapist, we have an MAT program, we have our one-on-one counseling and psychotherapy. We have, you know, the health partnership that's coming to the table to help with case management. All of it is kind of building to where I can see as a collaborative effort. Like, yeah, we don't have one agency in this town that can provide all of this for us, but together as a group, trying to accomplish the same goal of ultimately helping people, I think is the best way to do it. It's the only way to do it.
Well, it seems to me that all the players that have come to the table are willing, adaptable, and innovative. And I think that's what it's going to take to make this situation work. But what I really am excited about is we are having this conversation. I believe the attitude in the public has changed. We're starting, I feel, not to have the same stigma around this, and people are more willing to ask for help. So I just want to say I love the fact that you've taken the big view of this, you've recognized the problem, and that you're putting different puzzle pieces together to make this work. And, thank you.
Madam Chair, it sounds like we're developing quite a bit of support for this.
Yeah, maybe we should move forward. Thanks for the suggestion. I mean, this is just, it's helpful. You know, obviously we're just talking about this contract today, but it's helpful to hear all these things and understand the great work that you're doing. So
we're happy to come back and give you an update.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Go ahead.
Am I up?
I think so. I just gestured.
Yeah. You're good.
Madam Chair, I would move to approve and authorize your signature on a contract between the Rock County Sheriff's Office and Access Health Group.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thanks so much, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nice meeting all of you.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
We have just one more item. I need to take a quick break. Right there. Absolutely. Do you have that right there, Joe? Do you want me to sign it?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was a very impressive.
Morning.
We didn't get to make a joke about Kevin's yearbook photo. He took it away too quickly. We just see you now, Kevin.
Good morning. So Kevin and I are here to request your consideration to approve a adjusted SkyCap pay scale. This role is responsible for providing airport passenger support and customer service duties at the Yampa Valley Airport. The position was reviewed during the compensation study, but after further review of the wages, it appeared that the what was proposed included tip earnings versus a base hourly wage for tips. And so Kevin has requested that we update the pay scale to match all of the other pay scales for tip positions at YVRA. What you see is this new pay scale is based on information that I reviewed through Employers Council data. We benchmarked the new pay scale against a hotel and guest services bell person. We aged that average by 4.7% and to reflect the new pay scale that you have in front of you.
Base compensation at step one is $12.01. And this position is budgeted. Questions? No?
No.
I just, it's news to me that we had a position in the county that was tipped.
Yeah, I agree.
A couple of the
we have a few restaurants as well.
I guess I wouldn't know that the restaurant.
Yeah.
I didn't know we had this position. I mean, I don't have a problem with it as long as this person's actually getting tipped. They have a decent living.
Yeah, we generally don't have the recruiting sky caps because the tips are pretty good.
People are on vacation. There
might be a future career path for me.
You want to schlep people's luggage around? That's what you want to be part of me?
You know,
the grassy sky.
I was going to say, it seems pretty attractive.
Why do I anticipate that some of the customer service?
More the Walmart.
Never mind. I don't want to. Blemish, Rock County.
You know, Walmart, smiley face on the shirt, and you don't have to smile to the customer.
You don't have to hire Commissioner Corrigan. Not an obligation. Okay, well, if there's no questions, I'd be ready for a motion then.
All right, Madam Chair. I move to approve the SkyCap pay rate to... We don't really need to call that out, or do you want me to call it
out? No, you just need to approve pay scale.
Okay. Yes, I'd like to make a motion to approve the SkyCap pay scale.
Second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Kevin. Thank you. All right. Bye.
All right. We are adjourned. We'll see y'all next week.